Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. This is your opportunity to get a behind-the-scenes look at what's happening at Eastern Mena University in the athletic department. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics. I want to welcome you to this week's program. This program is going to be a lot like what we have been doing over the last week and in preparation for the coming week, and that is tie up all the loose ends before the proverbial storm hits, which is identified as students coming back to campus. We have been spending the week in faculty staff conference meetings and a lot of planning, a lot of last-minute details to follow up. Our athletes arrive on Sunday. The fall sports arrive on Sunday afternoon, the 19th, and get started with extensive preseason practices all during the coming next week. And then all students return. Freshmen come in on Saturday the 25th, I believe it is, followed by the upperclassmen on Sunday, Monday orientation, and then classes begin the following Tuesday. So we are in a preparation mode of getting all the details together for the fall athletes coming in. It's quite a task to house and feed 135 or 40 athletes who are coming in. We have developed a system here and are grateful to Pioneer Catering, the food service organization that does the food here on campus. And we purchase food from them and serve because the way we'd like to serve our athletes' food doesn't always correspond with the schedule of their dining hall services. So we do feed our athletes four times a day. And that's largely because they're having at least two a days and most times three a days in terms of the practice sessions, trying to get in as much as possible. It's about the only week that they have to do that before classes start, and then the season gets underway August 31st for some teams, September 1st for others. So we've developed a system of trying to keep them hydrated and keep them nourished, feeding a breakfast in the morning around 7, lunch at noon, sort of a mid-afternoon snack, you might, a sandwich and fruit and things like that around 4:30. And then at 9 o'clock at night, we have the heavier evening meal, usually pasta, et cetera, and things like that. So we have taken care of paying attention to their nutritional needs while they're here. As some people would indicate, it may be the best nutrition they get all year long because after we get rid of them, then they probably eat whatever they want to whenever they want to. So it is an undertaking for us. It's a costly week, but it's one that we believe is very important for preparing them in the best way possible. We are trying to cover all the last-minute details related to physicals and athletic training needs, new emphasis on concussion, as we heard about this summer from Mike Downey, and also the sickle cell trait. So a lot of paperwork that needs to be processed as well. We'll run them through the NCAA-required meetings. Those who need the concussion testing, we'll get that done on Sunday evening, and then we'll get started with the practices. We spent some good time as a staff this week talking about some of our goals and some of the things that we want to be working at. I think that you will find us to have a stronger emphasis, not that we haven't had it in the past, but we can always find ways to improve, of getting our focus on the academics, getting the students' focus on the academics, I guess I should say. Our goal is to create a culture where the athletes clearly understand and make the academics a priority, so it may be borne out by an athlete coming and requesting from a coach that they come late to practice that day because they really need to work on the lab with their partner or something like that. It's not that athletes don't do that, but there's always a few that are clearly here only on the playing part and sort of forget about the academics. And it is a delicate balance because we do want them to become, and they want to become, the best that they can be. And they certainly don't want to put themselves in an awkward position of not being at practice if that has something to do with the game time. So we understand the balance, but clearly we're going to be focusing on the academic piece. We are running a 6-week seminar for first-year athletes called Bridging the Gap. It will be led by Susan Kolb, our Assistant Athletic Director for Student Athlete Wellbeing, and she'll run that twice in the fall. All of the 100 and 200-level classes this year, professors are required to give an early graded assignment within the first 3 weeks. So it's our effort to, and that information will be passed on to us, to all advisors, but here in the athletic department, we'll take serious account of students who are not engaged yet, not attending class, et cetera. So while there will not be a formal attendance checking policy, we are planning to follow up clearly with where students are at academically as they go through. So I think that's one of the things that we're looking forward to. I will say that our numbers of athletes have increased a substantial amount. Of course, it's like anything else until they're actually here. Stay for a couple of weeks and join the team. We don't really know what the numbers are, but it appears that we may have an increase of about 50 student athletes total. That's from about 210 to about 260 for the year. So we clearly are still at that one-third of the student population being involved in athletics. I'd like to call your attention to two athletes, former athletes here at EMU, that have been recognized or will be recognized this coming fall with their high school as alumni of the year, young alumni of the year, actually. Liza Hevner and Eric Kratz both graduated from Christopher Dock Mennonite High School, and they have just been named as the Young Alums of the Year. There is an article on our webpage. I encourage you to look into that. It is a clear indication of the quality of student athletes that we work with here at EMU, and it is very satisfying to see where they go to. I'm sure it's obvious in Eric's case that the playing of the baseball correlates directly to what he's doing since he's still playing at this point with the Phillies. It may be a little bit harder to see where it falls with Liza, but I'm sure that a conversation with Liza would let you know how valuable her field hockey experience was here. Just a quick highlight, Eric Kratz graduated here, played in the minor leagues for a long time, is now currently playing with the Philadelphia Phillies as a catcher there. And has been doing quite well, and we get to connect with him. He works out here over the wintertime as he lives in Harrisonburg. I could go on and on about the amount of work that he's done to get where he's at, and it's a great tribute to his hard work, and he will certainly talk about his valuable experience here. Liza Hevner is currently working in Washington, D.C., and is a facilitator for an organization called Deforest Action. She moved to D.C. after graduating to work with the Faith and Politics Institute and a lobbyist as well. She just spent 100 days in Indonesia with a tribe there, and a documentary has been just produced based on her 100 years out there. So check that out on the webpage. Certainly something we want to highlight as former EMU athletes and what they're doing in their respective communities and to be recognized by their high school. As I mentioned last week, Eric Kratz will also be inducted into the Hall of Honor here the previous weekend before he receives the award at Christopher Dock Mennonite High School. As I mentioned earlier, this past week was faculty staff conference, and this theme, the theme this year was on creativity within the university, the creative process, incorporating creativity in our teaching and trying to pull that out of students is part of our mission statement. So as a faculty staff conference, we've been picking up different statements from our mission and values statement and working with those, and we worked with the idea of creativity. After a keynote address, different persons from the university presented workshops indicating and trying to describe where creativity came out within their department. And I had the opportunity to lead a workshop with five coaches, and I was extremely interested to hear their comments, and it made me think even more about how this idea of creativity comes into place. And I'll just highlight a couple of comments that they made. We talked a little bit about recruiting, how you have to be creative in terms of what are your plans in terms of trying to convince someone to come here. Most of the students that we're recruiting are being recruited by a lot of other people. And so what are the secrets towards trying to relate to them, build a relationship, get them committed? It was interesting that at least three coaches pointed up how much they do with personal notes in pen. And that's very interesting, and I'm going to even use the word creative in with the use of technology that's out there now. But many of them talked about how the personal notes are what they pay most attention to. We also then talked about the individual game itself and how much the game lends itself to allowing creativity on the part of the athlete and how much of it is set plays. At that particular workshop, we were represented by basketball, volleyball, track and field, and two soccer coaches. And one of the things that I observed out of their conversations and in my deeper thinking is, unfortunately, we have become a very results-oriented society, and everything seems to be hinged on the end result or the scoreboard at the end. And one of the things that is missed in that process, while in winning is important, I certainly want to subscribe to that and have our coaches work their teams towards that end. The reality is that if too much focus is placed on there, the beauty of the game and the creativity that's developed in the play setting is important. One point that was made was an interesting one in that volleyball, you are all, as a player, you're always responding to what someone else has done. You really don't have control over that much of the flow of the game because you're responding either to your teammate's hit or to the opponent's hit. Whereas a soccer player has told me already, what they like about the game is the beauty of their being able to control it. They have the ball, and when they have the ball, they can create space, they can create an opportunity, they can create with their skills, and they find that to be very invigorating. And so we discussed that quite a bit, and I found it to be very interesting. If you take someone like basketball, a lot of times you'll see a basketball coach right on the sidelines talking a lot, coaching almost every move. And if you look at soccer coaches, they get the flow of the game going, and they usually go back and sit on the bench for a while. And so the nature of each game was really interesting to discuss and to lay out and to figure out, you know, what it takes to play the game at the collegiate level and how much creativity is really a part of that. And in creating opportunities for you to score and creating opportunities to out-duel the opponent who has the ball, you might say. And so we had a very good discussion about that balance, and it's there's always so much more to it. I felt it was appropriate for the 25 or 30 that were gathered in our workshop to understand a little bit about each game, because as you understand each game, it may help you to become a little bit less of a armchair quarterback or a Monday quarterback, as they call it, and second guessing what the coaching has been doing. So it was really intriguing for us as coaches to look at this whole concept of creativity and understand how much of an opportunity we have to allow students to embrace their creativity. Many of us may feel like we're not creative because we can't draw, we can't play an instrument, we're not very good with paints, we can't make furniture, we can't do a lot of these kinds of things. And yet when one gets to start to play a game, when one starts to involve themselves in any kind of recreational activity, there develops this ability to really create and to and allow someone to use their gifts in very positive ways and to analyze quickly a situation and then respond to that in some way. And so we were talking a lot about how much you plan and how much you allow students to go on their own. And sometimes we might even look at a basketball coach and think, well, all they're doing is run and gun, so there's no coaching involved. And the coaches there in basketball talked an awful lot about how much is planned. The point is, it has planned structure, but there's always opportunity within that structure. So once again, I was really pleased to be able to make the connection of academics and athletics, and we'll continue to process this a little bit more. So I wanted to bring that up to you to let you know that we certainly are thinking about how that develops, and we're going to be looking a lot more at students this school year in terms of how they are developing their gifts and how they're using creativity. And it's one of the points that I've made before is that unfortunately, not allowing our children as much free time to play around the house or around the farm or the barn or wherever it happens to be or in the house itself, without allowing that free play, sometimes creativity has been stymied. And it's one of the things that we begin to see. I close the day with just referring to, not trying to toot my own horn, but I wanted to make sure people were aware that I did record two sessions on a radio broadcast out of Menno Media called Shaping Families. I taped this back in April, and I thought it was going to be one, and they developed it into two. And I would invite you to check that out. They can always be found on their webpage, shapingfamilies.com, I believe it is. I'm sure you can Google that and find out. They appear on radio stations throughout the East Coast for the most part on Saturday or Sunday. And the schedule is there, but you can also get both the script as well as listen to it online. So I invite you to do that if you have any interest in some of the perspectives that I have on youth sports and how that impacts perhaps the lives of the families in the church. And I'm going to continue to work at that this year. I'm going to spend a little bit more time this year working on the notion of how that intersects then with my work at the collegiate level as well. So I invite you, if you want to delve into that a little bit more, I certainly invite you to do that and send me any of your responses or questions. I certainly know there's people out there agree with me, and there's probably a lot that don't agree with me. And the dialogue is only what's going to help us get to a better point as we begin to understand more and more of athletics in our lives. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. We are very excited about athletes coming in. We'll be able to say a little bit more next week about what the teams are looking like and how we're getting started. I think James will be working on the season previews. All the schedules should be up already. Once again, I invite you, with any comments or questions related to EMU athletics at all, please give me a call, text me, send me an email. We'd like to keep this conversation going as to how we can become a better institution. And I'll talk a little bit more about that probably next week as well. Thanks for tuning in this week. And until we join once again next week, I invite you to make it a great week.